back in the day, you study hard, you go to university, and you're pretty much guaranteed a great career when you graduate. And that will set you up for life. What about today? Today, top university graduates are faced with unemployment, low starting salaries, and a mountain of student debt from their 4 years of education. I'm Christia, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today, we're going to be taking a look at the business of higher education. Is a college degree worth it? And does bigger necessarily mean better when it's so expensive to go to university? When we think about attending university, we think about the high tuition cost it takes to have a decent four-year education. But what is leading to the rising cost in college tuition? Well, in 2021, the average college tuition cost at a public university in the United States $10,388 and $38,185 at a private college. The average cost of college in the U.S. has more than doubled in the 21st century, with the annual tuition fee growth over 7%. American universities offer upscale dorms, student apartments, expensive meal plans, celebrity guest lecturers, wellness centers, and constant upgrades to sports facilities in order to lure and compete for recruits. Housing is also a big portion of the cost to study in the U.S., and many universities require students to live on campus in their first year in dorms and dining on campus cafeterias with expensive meal plans. Tuition fees at private U.S. universities tend to be higher than public universities as they do not receive funding from the government. Public universities may be required to accept a certain percentage of local students and students who live in the same state. Now, since the 1985, U.S. college costs have surged by over 1,000%, and tuition fees continue to rise. The U.S. now spends more on higher education than almost any other country, even for public universities, according to the OECD. Now, while 4 years is the normal duration for a bachelor's degree, only 38.9% of bachelor degree candidates graduate in 4 years' time. Most reported graduating within 6 years, leaving the cost of tuition fees over $200,000. American parents are now forced to take on massive amounts of debt to pay for higher education. But this is actually not the norm in most other first world countries. Unlike the U.S., the EU and other parts of the developed world heavily subsidizes its college and universities because they believe that education is a fundamental right that will produce working citizens. While the U.S. universities, they operate like a big business that is market-driven so that there is a wide range of quality and differentiation. European universities, they're more standardized. Now, in Europe, the average cost of an accredited bachelor's program is just $7,390 per year. That means that an entire college degree in Europe is often cheaper than just 1 year of tuition fees at an out-of-state or private college in the U.S. And this extends to even a master's degree as well, with the average tuition of a master's degree being just around $9,000 per year versus $30,000 for an American student. Europe considers education to be a right, not a privilege, and believes that an educated society will help to push the country forward. That is why the EU makes it a priority to subsidize college education in order to promote a stronger workforce, which will then, in turn, pay taxes as a productive citizen. Typically, a European country will also recover college expenses for its citizen after 9 years. Iceland, Latvia, Norway, Germany, and a number of others have some of the lowest tuition fees for higher education. There are even some countries that offer most of their bachelor's program free of charge for international students. Now, to explain more about the cost of education here and abroad, we will bring in our education experts, Luther Mercer and Giovanni Patterson. Thank you guys so much for being here. Let's start off with you, Giovanni. How much does higher education cost in the U.S. versus other countries?
Well, you know, just doing some research for this, you know, it is significantly higher, you know, upwards, you know, average tuition costs of over $8,000. And depending on where you want to go, you know, that number can really skyrocket. But, you know, upwards of, again, upwards of $8,000 to $10,000per year. And other countries, you know, that does seem to be much lower.
And now, Luther, is going to college or university worth it these days when so many college graduates are now unemployed and struggling to find work?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Second, absolutely, it's getting a higher education or always to get an education which really helps you to excel in whatever area, whether it's some kind of trade school or a, I guess, white collar profession, is always something that I would say is beneficial in a society like ours. But when you break it down to the question that you ask about, is it worth it? It really does come down to the individual. And it really does come down to your options as well. Like, for example, I wouldn't recommend, there are some private schools here in the country that have a very high tuition. There's someone who may want to go for a career as a teacher. Well, I would suggest that there are options in the market that they should look at that would enable them to achieve their journey in getting a higher education and for it not to be a massive economic burden. So one of the advantages of the society is that it has multiple options. One of the disadvantages of the society is that, yes, some of these options are extremely expensive, and that there are people that suffer a massive debt that we, you know, definitely are issues that we're now wrestling with here in this country.
Absolutely. And Giovanni, you have now controversial people like Mark Cuban telling people to actually not go to college and instead become an entrepreneur. So what do you think of that advice? Do you think it's sound or ill-advised?
I actually think it's pretty sound advice because you have to remember people do have options. You know, college is not the only path, you know, that you have to take. So I think it's pretty sound advice, but it's very important, try to have a path in your career or where you're trying to go, and understand the different avenues you can take. For example, the profession of financial services, you don't need a degree to enter in financial services. There are companies like Primerica or Dave Ramsey's, a business that, you know, can get you involved in the financial services field without a degree. So we have to remember, like, there are other options, and being a business owner is not necessarily a bad thing. That's one of the, you know, great things about where we are in America is that you can start your own enterprise, franchise, or you know, what have you, and earn a decent living, for your family, for your community, become a contributing, citizen to society. So I think it's sound advice, but I think it does come with, hey, you know what your options are. It's not necessarily that college is the only thing, but college could be the way that you need to go to achieve what you want to do, but it's not necessarily the only thing out here to achieve, you know, the life that you want to live.
Yes, and Luther, now, why is higher education so unaffordable in certain countries but readily available in others?
Well, you know, I guess it would depend on what country we're comparing them to. But yes, absolutely, in some countries it is readily available. Some countries it is not available, and then some countries like our own have this, again, tiered construct where, you really have to, at this point in time, when I'm saying to young people or I'm talking to families about issues around education, one of the things I always tell them to, you have to plan a little bit early now and really look at the options and see what you're trying to achieve, and then through that, then better look at what is best for you and the ability for that investment to make sense. And so when you're comparing, I think you have to keep that in mind, that it really is a conversation about what you're doing, what your career, what you're seeking to achieve. And that Mark Cuban is not necessarily wrong, but everybody, as you said, are not geared towards being entrepreneurs. Everybody's not geared towards being a college student that wants to go be a lawyer. So we have to think about those things more, I think, take more time to plan in order to make sure we're doing the best for what we need in our own individual lives.
Yes, and now finally this question goes for both of you guys. Why does the U.S. academic achievement lag behind the other countries? Does this translate when it comes to the workforce?
I would say, you know, there's this idea that, you know, pretty much everyone succeeds, and that's an idea that's kind of infiltrating, you know, through our, you know, high school and into, you know, secondary education. And I do think that, you know, really puts our future at a disservice, because there's this, again, this idea that everyone gets a trophy. No one, you know, you don't have to work hard. So it's setting our future up for failure when a lot of these jobs require a certain level of work ethic. They require a certain level of, you know, diligence. And, you know, because of the attitudes of, you know, you don't necessarily have to work hard to succeed, you know, it really is setting a lot of our future up for failure.
Luther?
Yes. And so, yeah, I'm in agreement with Giovanni. I mean, I think that, you know, there are things that are not, when you talk about the equatable nature of success, like, everybody who does go to college, yeah, doesn't necessarily achieve at the same levels, but what we have seen historically here in the country is that when you do have at least a college or a substantial educational framework after your years here in up until the 12th grade, and you continue to increase your educational background, you do have a greater chance of getting, you know, higher levels of income, being able to have a better opportunity at career and profession. Again, but that's also based on your skills, the things you're doing, and the market that you're in. So there are other variables also that play a role.
And now, Luther, you actually have a company that helps students get their grants. Students think that getting these loans are a solution, but information isn't really readily available. So should college spend more money in sending the proper information to these students who need it?
Oh, absolutely, no question about that. I think that our financing conversation around education needs to be advanced at very low levels earlier years of this person's life. I think that there needs to be a real conversation around tables, not necessarily at the particular college, but what's best for your child. And then whether that investment is something that really long-term makes sense. Yes, we it's just a little bit different, of course, 20 years ago when it was just like, oh, well, here's what you do and here's the step you take and you go do those things and that's it. I think there really is a conversation about planning and then looking at your options that really does answer those questions that we're talking about today.
Absolutely. Thanks for being the example that a degree doesn't mean everything. Thank you so much, Giovanni and Luther, but please stick around. Our experts will be joining us right here after the break. And when we come back, we will analyze if an expensive education can guarantee better job prospects. We'll have more after the break.
The Wagner aborted coup will be discussed, debated, and probably mythologized for years to come. But has this bizarre and self-defeating affair really changed anything? The fighting continues in Ukraine, and Ukrainians are dying in large numbers. And importantly, Russia is winning.
When all truths seem wrong, when all rules just don't hold, and a new world is yet to shape out, disdain becomes the etiquette, and engagement equals betrayal. When so many find themselves worlds apart, we choose to look for common ground.
If the education system in the US is so expensive, then at least, do you get what you pay for? Do American students receive a superior education than a student in Europe and therefore has better job prospects? Not really. While the spending per student in the US is exorbitant, it has absolutely virtually no relationship to the value that students could possibly get in exchange. In a recent survey, only 38% of US college graduates feel that their education was worth the cost. You can still find some good jobs without college, but it certainly limits your choices. Most of the time, you're more likely to get accepted in a job when you go to a college, regardless of whether or not going to college would actually help you on the job. However, today, with the student loan debt hardship that is drowning out most graduates and students, it is becoming less advantageous for most people to go to college. Many are finding that they're better off going straight into the job market rather than trying to go to college and then finding alternative means to advance their careers. The U.S. nationwide student debt loan is over $1.4 trillion. And on top of that, you have annual tuition increases and inflation. Today, it seems like college is no longer an investment, but a speculation. 50 years ago, college was the traditional path to financial success. If you graduated with any kind of degree and a good GPA, you could waltz into any well-paying entry-level corporate job. But today, this doesn't work anymore, and fresh college graduates are competing for menial entry-level positions. In 2021, undergraduate enrollment at colleges in the U.S. fell by 3.1%. Overall enrollment at higher education institutions have declined by 5.1% since 2019 as they either couldn't afford it or thought it was a waste of money. And nearly 9 in 10 Gen Zers are educating themselves through alternative means like internships and certificate online programs. 48% of non-enrolled young adults join the workforce instead of going to college. Are people better off studying at a 2-year technical program, or are 4-year universities the way to go? Now for this question and more, we'll bring in again our educational experts, Luther Mercer and Giovanni Patterson. Now, Giovanni, let's start off with you. How popular are the 2-year specialty trade schools or apprenticeship programs compared to universities for the middle or mid to lower income class? Do these trade schools yield better job opportunities upon graduation compared to traditional universities?
When it comes to popularity, I think oftentimes the trade schools do get overlooked. However, I would recommend, from a personal perspective, to really get back into the trades, especially with the amount of AI and automation that's coming out that is going to take or automate a lot of jobs. So the trade schools will provide better opportunities, but better is again a subjective word, but they will provide definite opportunities, for the future. There's a school right here in Baltimore City called I'm Still Standing Community Corporation, and they have a job placement rate of over 90%. Taking young students 18 to 30 years old, and as soon as they complete the program, they have partnerships with companies like Southwest or Cisco, and are able to place these, you know, trade school individuals right from the school, right from the classroom, into a job earning, you know, $70,000 to $100,000. You know, so there are options, you know, when it comes to these trade schools, and I'm not sure if they're really getting the recognition they deserve. But they should now be, you know, really, really considered.
Absolutely. And Luther, with inflation these days, what is the average starting salary for a university graduate? And is this ROI worth the 4-year investment?
Well, I guess, again, to make sure, you know, we're speaking intelligently about it, it really does depend on the career. It really does depend on what you're looking to do and what you have an interest in. And then you look at the ROI. Again, I know I mentioned teachers. I know Giovanni's mentioned trade schools. Well, again, you have to plan and really look at what opportunity, what are the challenges in the space? Do I really need to have an investment in such an expensive program? Or are there other options in the marketplace that would provide an equal and great education and then be able to translate that into higher states of income? I will say this, that historically your numbers and the conversation we're having is very much correct. But one of the challenges is marketplaces change, and in America is no different. And so what you have to do now is say, based on what I'm doing, based on the direction I want to go, what are my options? And am I looking at this clearly enough, or am I just thinking about kind of a social construct of, oh, everybody wants to be a college graduate, and this is going to be what yields me the outcomes in life that I want to pursue or need to pursue. So this is the way you have to look at it in order to understand whether or not your ROI or your return on investment is a good one.
Absolutely. And Giovanni, U.S. universities and education in general cost more than anywhere in the world. But then shouldn't it be better than everywhere else? So why is the U.S. education not yielding smarter, better students?
Well, you know, if we're going dollar for dollar, I mean, the idea would be that it is, you know, it is better. You know, however, that's not the case. And, you know, when you look at what's required now in a lot of these schools, there's a lot of, you know, courses required that don't necessarily pertain or deal with the major that you may want to require. And that's why you are, that may want to acquire rather. And that's why I think you're seeing a lot of people, you know, go the first couple years of college and say, you know, I'm not going to complete it because I'm not learning the things that I wanted to learn. So even students are, you know, dropping out and saying, this is not yielding the result because I wanted to learn X and you're teaching me Y. And I don't believe that's going to get, you know, I believe I can learn better on my own. So you see things like Stack Skills and Udemy come up offering these alternative programs. But from a cost perspective, yes, I mean, I do think better results should be yielded, you know, but from an actuality, because a lot of the money comes from the federal government, I mean, because 92% of student loans now are federally held loans. And as long as you know, the college tuitions can charge what they want, and long as the government's going to pay, you know, we're going to continue to see the results that we're going to get, that we're getting now.
Well, thank you so much, Giovanni Patterson and Luther Mercer, for all your time today.
Well, thank you for having us, Christy.
So should education be treated like a big business, or should it be accessible to all in order to produce an educated workforce and good citizens? Should it be completely merit-based, or should there be a standard level of education across all students, regardless of intelligence levels? Well, there's no easy solution to these questions, as institutions all cost money to operate. But bigger doesn't always mean better. U.S. students' math skills have also remained stagnant for decades and are falling behind, while other countries such as Japan, Poland, and Ireland have improved. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development administered an assessment in 2018 where the U.S. placed 30th out of 79 countries in math, scoring 478, which is below the OECD average of 489. Now, while higher education is, of course, is more than just math skills, it is an important indicator as it shows that U.S. students may not be as prepared to take on high-paying computer and engineering jobs, which often goes to foreign workers. I'm Christy Yai. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you right back here next time on The Cost of Everything.